Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, indeed, what a powerful name is the name of Jesus. And as we gather together on this Good Friday, we thank you for those that are here. We thank you for those who are in person. And I pray, Lord, that we would honor this gift that you gave the world through your death, through your sacrifice, and through your redemption of all who come to faith in you. So, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We pray that no one would leave this place the same as they came in, that your Spirit would touch hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are moments when life goes dark. And in those moments, you realize that just something's not right. That there's something wrong. There's something wrong with the world. And in those moments, you even come to realize that there's sometimes something wrong with me. There's a diagnosis that happens that you didn't expect. There's a relationship that collapses. A moral failure that comes to light. And when it comes to the Bible, darkness represents all those things that we're feeling in the moment when life goes dark. Those moments of judgment, those moments when we feel separated. Those moments when the weight of our failures, the weight of our sin sort of becomes expressed very loudly. And what's interesting about what Scripture teaches and what's interesting about Good Friday is that we don't know what to do with the darkness. Oftentimes, it's a huge struggle for us. But what Good Friday teaches us is that God did not ignore the darkness. He actually entered into it. I want to read a passage out of Luke's gospel. Just take a few moments about this particular passage as Jesus is dying on the cross. And the passage starts out by saying this: by this time, it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun had gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshiped God and said, "Surely this man was innocent or righteous." And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. Just want to highlight a few things out of this passage. The curtain is torn in the temple. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but there was a curtain that was the curtain of separation. Either there's one general one and one for the Holy of Holies. But here's the thing. The temple became a place of segregation. It divided the Jewish people from the Gentiles. It divided the priest from the common person. It divided men against women. It divided from the wealthy and the poor. And the tearing of this curtain at the time of Jesus' death recognizes that none of those segregations under the kingdom of Jesus are now valid, that everyone is equal at the foot of the cross. Jesus as well quotes a psalm, Psalm 31:5, by the way, when he says, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." Now, what's interesting, Jesus didn't whisper it. He didn't just say it. But the text is very clear that he shouted it. And in that environment, everyone would have recognized that Jesus was quoting Psalm 31, verse 5 in particular, but it was a psalm of trust that in that day and age, the minute that Jesus would have just said that one line, everybody would have been able to reference what it was that he was actually talking about. He was talking about that even in the darkest moment, humanly speaking, of Jesus's life, he was making it very clear that he was entrusting everything to our Heavenly Father. Because it's a psalm of trust that no matter what the darkness brings, no matter what the difficulties I'm experiencing, no matter what this life throws at me, I will trust you. That's what Jesus is saying in this passage. In fact, the Jewish people used to recite that passage as part of their evening prayers, saying, "Lord," it's kind of like, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." It was their version of that kind of prayer, to say, "Whatever happens in the night, I entrust it to you." Now, we have communion as part of our Good Friday service, and I do want to segue into communion at this time, because communion is really important on a Good Friday to remember that the darkness doesn't win when we have faith in Jesus, that Good Friday is not just something we observe, it's something that we are to receive. It takes this moment in the history of Jesus and it brings it into personal reality for each and every one of us.